Hello. As always, Masha tells you stories and welcomes you to the 18th episode of the podcast Film Gracia Artis, or just Film, if shortly. Here I share tales that inspire and reveal unique experiences of creators, makers, and lovers of all kinds. I hope you find this program interesting, whether you practice art and you're learning about how constant stress and fear can stifle creativity, narrow our focus, provoke guilt, and affect the way we make things, or even leave us feeling completely devoid of ideas. The fear of social disaster or war is a strange kind of weather. It doesn't arrive all at once like a storm. It seeps in quietly, making the air heavy and unsteady. For some, it has become reality. For others, it hams beneath everyday life like a constant, invisible tension. Cities living under long-term threat show us how humans manage dual existence, one lived openly, the other quietly, in the shadow of what if. Fear can make life smaller, more fragile, or it can devastate it entirely. You notice sunlight falling on a wall in a new way, the taste of coffee, a child's love, a call to a parent, a kiss from a loved one. Tiny acts of living become precious because you understand deeply that any of these moments could be lost. Your mind rehearses disaster endlessly, preparing, imagining. Sometimes you feel like you're going mad. Freud called this repetition compulsion, reliving trauma before it even occurs. Modern psychology calls it anticipatory anxiety. You run every scenario over and over, hoping the foresight will soften the blow. Viktor Frankl offered perspective. An abnormal reaction to an abnormal situation is a normal behavior. Chronic vigilance, insomnia, irritability, compulsive news checking is our adaptation, not weakness. And yet, as Rollo May said, anxiety is the dizziness of freedom. To live under threat is to sway between fear and defiance, between hiding and living fiercely. At night, silence feels suspicious. A car door slams and heart tightens. Cafe conversations hush at the mention of this situation. Some quietly discuss escape plans or legal documents, while others plan a luxury wedding, buy an haute couture gown or book a vacation. Normal life pressed into the edges of danger. And yet, ordinary life becomes precious. Hannah Arendt called this as the miracle of natality. Every act of living is itself a rebirth against destruction, a defiance of fear. Fear distorts morality. It hijacks the mind's higher circuits, the ones that reason, reflect, and regulate emotion, and hence control to instinct. Survival becomes the primary goal. Ethics fade, empathy dulls, patience wears thin, compassion turns into calculation, sympathy becomes a luxury. Power speaks louder than love. Even amid quiet dread, society fractures in subtle ways. Some stay silent, others cannot stop asking uncomfortable questions. How can you celebrate while others flee? How can you create while others mourn? How can you take a vacation while others buy one-way tickets? How can you entertain yourself while others endure insomnia and refugee shelters? How can you enjoy life while others die? Perhaps both are right. Anyone has the right to cling to life's small joys, and anyone has the right to ask, refuse numbness, and insist in reason even in fear. Between these truths lies the tension of being human in times of fear. The need to live, the need to remember, the burden or choice of blame or guilt. Psychologists call it pre-trauma survivor's guilt, the shame of living normally while anticipating disaster or while others endure it. Fear invades imagination, stays in dreams, plans, and hope. Couples postpone weddings, students rethink futures, parents pack backpacks just in case, teaching children emergency numbers while life quietly continues. Even creation can become a struggle. Art, writing, music, often seen as refugee, sometimes offer no relief. Stress makes blank pages and empty canvases heavier. The studio once felt like a sanctuary, now it can feel like a tomb. Brushes lie untouched, pigments mute, thoughts twist like barbed wire, inspiration feels distant. Yet survival itself becomes a quiet act of art of overcoming, if we can call it like this. The same as Beverly Allen Smith does in her textiles and research. She explores emotional states such as mourning and melancholia. Through techniques like mending and staining cloth, her work delves into grief, loss, and absence, allowing viewers to reflect on universal experiences. The absence of meaning, absence of strength, absence of people or aims of existence. Here many may argue that simply living is art, and they are right. Breathing, moving, caring, enduring, these are stubborn acts of creation. Small gestures, steadfast routines, acts of care, they resist despair. In Kaz, continuation itself is defiance. Today we witness how skilled hands in war-torn parts of Eastern Europe continue to stitch despite shelling and blackouts. People find purpose in the gentle, meditative movements of a needle, in painting, poetry, or tending a garden. Small acts that carry the quiet promise that one day the war will end. So does Ukrainian artist Marina Lukacs, who exemplifies resilience under war, adapting her life and work to constant disruptions. Her life offers a vivid glimpse into the reality of many ordinary people around her, who navigate fear and uncertainty while striving to maintain some semblance of normalcy. Amid this harsh environment, Lukacs' art bursts with color, texture, and imagination, incorporating silk, lace, felt, ribbons, beads, embroidery, photography, and collage. These vibrant creations act as striking counterpoint to the devastation of war, demonstrating how creativity can be both a form of resistance and a source of hope. Through her perseverance and artistry, Lukacs reminds us of the enduring human capacity to find beauty, purpose, and courage even in the darkest circumstances. Such vivid examples of resilience are not unique today. Looking back 25 years during the siege of Sarajevo, people strove to recreate normality amid chaos, attending concerts in ruined halls, or holding beauty contests like Miss Sarajevo. Women, in particular, emphasized their defiance of destruction, celebrating life. A striking photograph of Miliha Varshanovich walking down a war-torn street in an elegant gown and high heels captures this spirit perfectly. A moment where elegance and survival becomes inseparable, embodying courage, dignity, and a human will to persist. The same defiance appeared in 1942 in Leningrad, under the dome of St. Isaac's Cathedral, where marble and gold once proclaimed eternity, citizens planted cabbage gardens. Opposite the Astoria Hotel, once a place of luxury, people grew food between bomb craters and shrapnel. The gardens were about sustenance, as well as the gestures of faith. Each seed, each green leaf pushing through the ashes, was a quiet rebellion against annihilation, a declaration that life, however small, would not yield to death. And all over Europe, especially during the Blitz in London, people did the same. Amid nightly bombings and rubble strewn streets, Londoners turned craters into vegetable patches and flower beds. Government posters urged citizens to dig for victory, but for many it went beyond survival. It was a way to reclaim dignity, to create order from chaos, to feel human again. In every sprouting bean and blooming marigold, there was a message of endurance, whispering, "We all still here." Now, decades later, the same tenderness blooms again in Kharkiv, where residents plant flowers among the ruins. Petunias, violets, and sunflowers grew beside broken walls and burned-out vehicles. They are not mere decorations, they are proof of continuity. Amid exhaustion and grief, people tend to life itself, refusing to surrender to despair. They create beauty from dust, just as others play music among ruins or mend fabric by candlelight. Fear narrows our focus, drains color from the mind, and silences the impulse to create. Yet even when art seems impossible, the will to nurture life becomes its own form of creation. If inspiration does not come, life runs its course, fragile yet determined, reaching for light through debris. In all these gestures, the Leningrad cabbage, the London crater gardens, the Sarajevo fashion, the Kharkiv flower bed, we find a single truth. Even when words fail, life continues to speak through living, and that, too, is art. Weeks before February 2022, cafes in Ukraine were full, street musicians played. In many parts of the world, no one wanted to believe that war was near. Even today, when fear and uncertainty shatter our sense of calm, there are still those who refuse to accept that more countries could be drawn into the front line. Fear has a compelling duality. It can shrink life or make it shine, and often does both at once. Sunshine, rain, concerts, and small everyday moments gleam like sparks in a darkened room. People tie shoes, hold hands, pay bills, carrying fear in one hand and hope in the other, suspended between peace and disaster. Likewise, fashion designer Amna Kunovats in Sarajevo created clothes from limited imported fabrics that were for her small expressions of hope and beauty. Each dress, each careful stitch, was a quiet reminder that life, art, and culture mattered more than violence. Maybe this is what living today really means, inhabiting the space between peace and catastrophe, awake, painfully, beautifully awake. Every act of living is itself a rebirth against destruction, Hannah Arendt wrote, and in that fragile truth, humans persist. Wars, threats, disasters, they shape our life, our love, our plans, our breaths, while life continues, fragile, vigilant, human. Must we feel guilty if we're stitching a dress, meeting a loved one, celebrating a small occasion? Must we feel shame if the sketch remains unfinished or the embroidery incomplete? Must we feel guilty for being numb or feeling empty? Life unfolds in the fragile space between fear and hope. Each stitch, each breath, each small act of care is quiet rebellion. Proof that we are here, human, capable for beauty. Fear may shadow us, but it cannot extinguish the light we bring to ourselves and to others. Viktor Frankl reminded us, when we are no longer able to change a situation, we are challenged to change ourselves. Within this tension, we discover courage to create, to love, and to live, even as disaster lurks at the edges of our world. Living itself is artistry, brittle, vigilant, and human. Each moment we persist is the reclamation of the world, stitch by stitch, breath by breath. Be gentle with yourself, whether your life is quiet or stormy. One day will come for stillness and reflection. For now, simply be. And I will be back soon.